Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Ghanaian reggae hit there from Black Rasta. The song, of course, Barack Obama, who goes to Ghana today. His plane touches down a little after sunset in Ghana after a very busy day, which began this morning with a $15 billion agricultural agreement announced in Italy, where the president sat down with some African officials and members of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and the World Trade Organization to talk about hard issues in Africa, as well as some of the emotional atmospherics of this presidential visit, the first family going to sub-Saharan Africa for the first time. Joining us now is Alex Jacana, host of Africa Have Your Say, a program of our partners, the BBC. He joins us from London. Alex, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
So we've heard a lot about the anticipation. We've also heard some disappointing suspicions or details that, in fact, Ghanaians aren't going to get much access to this president, partly because of the weather and partly because of security concerns. What are people saying to you?
Well, that is true. Some people were quite disappointed to find out that they wouldn't be able to see him or to wave or to get close enough, some of them to press flesh. But from the sort of outpouring of information we've been getting, you know, emails from the listeners, text messages when we spoke to them yesterday and phone calls during the program yesterday, a lot of them are still pretty excited. I'll give you, for example,
sure.
Edith, who we spoke to in Ghana, a youth there. She's kept referring to herself as a youth. And as you know, President Obama has really ignited the youth, as we saw in the campaign there in the United States and around the world. She kept saying she was excited as a young person that he was coming. It didn't matter that she was not going to be able to see him. Joseph, who we spoke to in Cape Coast, that's in Ghana, where there is a former slave port. A lot of African Americans tend to head out there to see from where many of their forefathers left the continent to the U.S. in those boats. He too said he was really excited about the visit. And get this, John, he was saying that he is hoping that his heavily pregnant wife will give birth on the day Obama comes to town. How about that?
That's great. Well, that's why you're the host of Africa Have Your Say, Alex Jacana. Any discussion, and we had a little bit of this discussion this morning, that it would be better if he went to someplace like Nairobi where he could focus on democracy issues, maybe make a more powerful statement against some of the regimes in sub-Saharan Africa.
That is true. The choice of country has been one that a lot of Africans have been talking about as well on the website, sending texts in. But I'll give you, for example, Basse, who emailed us. Actually, he sent in a text message from Nigeria. And I'll read it for you just as he sent it. He says, Obama's choice of visiting Ghana is right. Ghana has been able to conduct credible elections and is a stable democracy. And who knows, perhaps the new oil influenced as well, he puts in there. Ghana is a country where losers congratulate winners. And this is a theme that kept coming up a lot. And I think the feeling that you got there is a lot of people were saying, listen, he should go to a country that appears to be, or that at least is trying to uphold democracy as is widely understood around the world, having accepted elections regularly and pursuing them through to the conclusion that they should be going to. So people in Nigeria who were very disappointed, people in Ghana from where his father came, you know, we're a bit disappointed as well, saying he should have come here first to get a blessing before going
right
elsewhere, but largely happy that he's gone to Ghana.
Alex, can I just jump back to something you said a moment ago, because it jumps out at me. You said Ghana is a place where losers say hello to winners?
Yeah, and I guess what Basse... I know. I guess what Basse was trying to say there is what happens with many African elections is after the results are out, the loser quickly calls a press conference and he says the elections were rigged. No one ever accepts defeat. And I guess what they saw in the last elections in Ghana was a loser calling the winner and saying, listen, mate, congratulations, buddy, you did well.
Nice. Well, Alex Jacana, thanks so much. Host of Africa Have Your Say, gauging the reaction and the anticipation of President Obama's visit to Ghana later today. Continuing our discussion from Nairobi, Kenya, is Dr. Wangari Maathai. We welcome her back to the program. She, of course, is the Nobel Prize-winning activist and founder of the Green Belt Movement, author of the book The Challenge for Africa. Doctor, thanks so much for coming back on the program.
Thank you very much.
You know, I remember when you were sitting right across from me and we were talking about, the campaign and, some of the emotional issues. I'm wondering if you could draft a memo for President Barack, now President Barack Obama, of issues and things that you want dealt with by the American government. What do you think that would be?
As the president comes to the continent, one of the things that I think should be focused on is governance, to encourage the African leadership to address the issue of good governance, democratic governance, respect for human rights. Right here in Kenya, we are dealing with extrajudicial killings, mostly by the police, issues like corruption. So I think these are some of the issues that are, of course, are closely associated with our region, and I hope that these are some of the issues that he will address and encourage the African leadership to seriously address.
Now, Dr. Wangari Maathai, if the president does address some of these sensitive issues, he'll be speaking on Ghanaian television. Ghanaians won't have much access to him. It's going to be from the inside of a very secure building. Is it likely that Kenyan media will carry that speech live, or would they be more likely to edit it?
I would hope that Kenyan media would carry it alive. There is a lot of interest here in Kenya, and as the previous interviewer was saying, of course, Kenyans would have hoped that he would come here first for the obvious reasons. So I'm sure they will be very keen to hear what he says from Ghana, and we are very clear that he will be talking to the entire sub-Saharan Africa. So, yeah, I do hope that it will be live.
Now, what do you think the influence Barack Obama has on particular African leaders? Are they keen to create bilateral relationships with him, or are they more concerned about being lectured to by someone like Barack Obama? Certainly, there's a long tradition of American presidents lecturing to African leaders.
Well, I think that most African leaders, I can't think of any that was not excited when President Obama was elected. And I am quite sure that they are inspired by him. Most of them, of course, are old enough to be their his daddy. But I think that right. He has been a great inspiration, not only to the young people, but also to the adults and the older generation. So I'm sure they will be listening. Obviously, they would prefer that he dances in lecture to them, but he will definitely be addressing issues that will look like he's lecturing to them when he tells them to practice better governance, to respect human rights. When he, for example, tells Kenyans that he may not come here until we are prepared to address the issues of post-election violence, to eliminate impunity among our leaders, some of whom are going to face the arrest because of having participated in those post-election violence. Or when he tells us that we need to protect our forests because without that we may face food crisis and water crisis. It may appear like he is lecturing to them, but surely these are issues that are very real in Africa and the leadership needed to look at them.
Well, we've already seen the success of a female president in Liberia. I'm wondering if there's a message that you would hope for from Barack Obama to encourage more women to be in the public sector, the leadership class in Africa, as a way of moving forward on a variety of reforms.
Well, I have a lot of respect for our president, Sirleaf Johnson in Liberia, and I know that she's doing a great job trying to put a broken country back on track. But it is also true that it is too early to think that only women can bring the African failed governance back on track. I think that Sometimes when I look at some of the women who may be ministers in government, sometimes they don't do any better in terms of irresponsible leadership than the men. So I think that the challenge for Africa, as I have said in my recent book, is a challenge for all of us Africans, but especially those of us who are elites and who are in governance positions, that we really need to be responsible to our people and to govern them as if they matter.
Well, the takeaway there, I guess, would be a unity of the African diaspora and people in Africa to try to upgrade the sort of civic sector and to create a new class of leadership. And Barack Obama is, as you said, most of the African leaders could be his daddy. Thank you, Dr. Wangari Maathai.
Thank you very much.
Nobel Prize-winning activist and founder of the Greenbelt Movement, author of the book The Challenge for Africa in Nairobi, Kenya.